Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. It's August 31st, and I will now...
Mr. Charlene, how are you?
All right.
Please mute those who are having conversation. Please mute your phone. This is the chair, Bob Lederer. I'll now call the roll. Riley Abbott, WPFW.
Present.
Teresa Allen, KPFT. Jim Brown, WPFW.
Jim Brown is here. I have to leave very shortly. This is my anniversary, and I called just to.
Okay, thank you so much for making the call.
But I have to leave very quickly.
Okay, very good. Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT. Okay, Janet Coleman, WBAI, is unable to be here. Marion Douglas Ungaro, WPFW. Jose Luis Fuentes Ramon, KPFA. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Frank Lefever, WBAI. Michael Novick, KPFK. Michael, okay, I know Michael was here before. And he
went can you hear me?
Yes, okay, yeah. Thank you. Serene Roberts, WBAI. Serene? Okay, she was here a minute ago. Nancy Sabara Naratomi.
Present.
Okay, Pete Tucker, WPFW.
Present.
Okay, and we have two new members. Tej, I don't know her last name, from KPFK.
Rewald.
Okay, and she's unable to be with us. And then Lawrence Reyes from KPFK. Okay, and did anyone...
Lawrence is here. Lawrence is here.
All right, and did anyone else join since I call? Any other committee members join since I called the roll?
Serena's here.
Okay. All right. Well, I count 10 members, and that's a quorum. We also have with us the National Election Supervisor, Eljoy Williams, and two PNB members who are not on the committee, Lydia Brasson and Benito Diaz. So let's discuss the proposed agenda. First, can I have a timekeeper? Can someone please volunteer?
I will. Nancy will.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, so the agenda proposed is five items. First, report from the National Election Supervisor on the next steps in the election process, including a Q&A for 30 minutes. Next, a report of the LSB Terms Work Group for 30 minutes. Next, setting of the next meeting date for the Elections Committee for 5 minutes. Next, review and approval of minutes. We have... five sets that we've gotten a little backlogged on, so that would be 5 minutes to approve those. And finally, discussion of additional cost-cutting measures for 30 minutes with a time-certain adjournment at 10:30 Eastern. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there any objection to adopting that agenda? Okay, hearing none, and the agenda is adopted. So we'll start with the report from the National Election Supervisor, Eljoy Williams. Thank you for joining us, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, everyone. And as you know, I've been on vacation, but, you know, still sporadic. Can everyone hear me?
I can hear.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought someone was talking. But have been monitoring, you know, of course, the local election supervisors have been diligently at work. I have a couple of updates in specific categories, one on the election schedule, then on the final voter list, then on election promotion and some notes about candidates, and then finally, some a quick point or two about procedure in respect to the bylaws and also the corporation's code in terms of continuing with the election process. So the first is the election schedule. So despite, which I thought was a very clear description of the current situation, the election is not canceled, despite many emails and messages and sometimes late night phone calls that I received while away, claiming that I had canceled the election. The election is not canceled. The mailing of the ballots and online voting has been postponed due to the financial situation of the station. As you know, and those of you who are board members know, I do not have the power to write a check or to issue checks and proceed with the election. So I cannot have an election proceed and make that decision on my own with Pacifica's money. So just wanted to reiterate that point in case it was not clear, and particularly for those who may be listening to the report. I don't, at this time, have an updated dates because I have not received yet an updated financial timetable. Just so folks are aware, there is a deposit that's due to the vendor, which includes the online vendor and mailhouse vendor for mainly for postage and the printing of the materials of $25,000. That is just a flat deposit for the full for all of Pacifica in order to move forward. And as I noted in a previous memo, I was informed, at a late hour that Pacifica did not have the necessary funds to meet that. And so that is why I delayed, not canceled, the opening of the voting part of the election. So despite that, myself, the LESs, and the vendors are moving forward in at least having as much information as possible already set to go, so that by the time the decision is made or the funds are available, that we can move forward with the printing and the opening of the online voting without delay. The vendor needs about 12 to 14 days in advance of the open of the election for the mailing process. We are also, for instance, we already have the candidates' names and the candidate statements, all of that information. We are loading into the online system, doing the layout for, we were already in the final stages of the layout for the candidate booklet and the ballot. We just halted once the deposit was not able to be met. So we were already, close to finishing those things. So we are just keeping that schedule so that by the time the finances are available, there won't be an extreme delay in moving forward. So just a reminder, I don't have it updated at this time, but I will discuss more in the when I get to the bylaws and California Corporations Code, which I had a lovely evening of wine reading to talk about some of the issues we may potentially have that we need to fix. But I just wanted to do some quick other ones before we move on. So the other thing that continued to move forward as well is the cleaning of the voter list. That has been completed, and a memo with the final station numbers will be produced this week. It will be produced in writing and posted on the elections website and also emailed around. The cleaning consisted of removing duplicates, separating household names, duplicates not only in terms of names but also across stations. There were some people who donated to multiple stations, so cleaning that, as well as doing the post office change of address. That was also run on the list. So all of that work has been done, and a memo on that process, which will also include the numbers. So it will also include things like there were this many duplicates, this many records without any names. This, you know, so all of that information will be included in the memo, just for transparency's sake. Regarding that prospect is because there will be voter records that either we didn't have an address for, maybe an email address only, or a name and not a mailing address. All of those will also be kept in a list, and that'll be outlined in the memo, not the specific records, but those will be outlined so that if when the voting process opens, someone contacts either myself or through the website that they believe that they're eligible to vote, it gives us a greater opportunity to match that record to a particular person's name. So we'll be able to match that up. So that information will be kept. None of the information on the list is, like, completely deleted. Even if there are duplicates, it's noted that it's duplicate. So that way that in case there needs to be an audit after the election process on who was eligible and why people were removed from the list, at least from my perspective, once the list was delivered to me, there will be notes and information on that. Next is election promotion. So most of the local election supervisors, or some of them, have been promoting within the station area, encouraging people to sign up to vote online. I have been getting plenty of notifications daily of people signing up to do that. So it seems the work that either those of you who are on the board, the LESs, and the candidates have been doing, encouraging people to do that, seems to be working. Again, we won't know the full percentage until a little later. There will be a couple of email blasts for the next couple of weeks going out to the combined voter list for those we have email addresses for, asking people to also do that process, to sign up to vote online to save the station's money. And so related to that, there have been a couple of emails that I received and also requests that I received about the security of online voting for this process. And so I am also producing a video that will have information about the particular vendor we're using and their voter verified audit method. So as you know, which will be on the ballot, everyone gets they have a real detailed system so that the election numbers can be run again, that there's a number coordinating to a vote so people can verify, they get a receipt. They have a number that they can check back against that secretaries in the future can also check back and make sure a vote was recorded. So we, just to help ease the tension on that issue, we'll produce a video and a cart, if it makes sense, just in terms of the time frame that will run on air as well. In addition, from election promotion standpoint, there will be updated cart and audio ports for the stations to use on Thursday. And these parts are, we were trying to hold off to see if I would have had an updated timeline by this week, so that I could do cards that would include the new voting time. But we don't have that yet, but I still want to do cards or cut some cards encouraging people to sign up to vote online, and also clarify that the election isn't canceled. So regarding candidates, so some of you who are existing candidates or know of some know that the LESs have either already completed or in the final days of reporting the candidate cards that will run on the stations as well, the statements from the candidates, and those will be running very shortly. And we do have a few memos to issue and put on the site regarding just a few fair campaign violations. There hasn't been that many, but those will also be updated from some of the ones we received over the weekend and at least today. So lastly, I just want to double back on the conversations that have been had over email and calls regarding whether or not PACIFICA is in violation due to postponing the printing of the ballots and the opening of the voting process. And so, as mentioned in the memo and mentioned in my emails, I did spend a significant amount of time reviewing PACIFICA's bylaws, also reviewing the nonprofit, the California nonprofit law to particularly address some of the issues. And obviously, as I said, I can't write a check for PACIFICA, so there's little that I can do in terms of moving the election forward. I did explain in the memo regarding if the date of record moves, what that means in terms of voter eligibility, and both the bylaws and the California nonprofit law seem to support that. If there is any clarification needed, I'm sure you guys will have questions at that point on the call this evening. So that is my report thus far, and I'm available for any questions.
Okay, thank you, Joy. And let's start with committee members, and then we can hear from others.
Janet Kay.
I'm sorry, who was the first person? I heard Serene.
Lawrence to the SAC.
Janet Kay.
Okay. Lawrence to the SAC.
Okay, so I got, let's see, Serene, Lawrence, Janet Kay. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I do have a couple of questions directly related to Al Joy's report, but I do have an off-topic question that I want to briefly raise, please. It's a procedural issue. May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, part of the work group's report, a lot of the work group reports focuses on WPFW, and some members of the board who are not members of the committee and not PND members are interested in joining the call for that portion of the discussion. I'm wondering if there's any objection if I can send them the code to join.
No, I think that's a totally legitimate function to resolve these questions. So I'd say go ahead.
Okay, great. So I'll do that in a minute since I'm done with my questions on topic. Two quick questions, Joe. You said that secretaries would be able to check to see if a vote were recorded?
So the way the voter verified method works is that you as an individual voter get a particular code related to your ballot and your vote. So you can, once you complete your vote, you get a receipt on screen to verify that you voted. You then get a email receipt if you're voting online. But even if you're voting by the paper ballot, there's a code on your ballot as well. So once the election is over and the election has been counted, you can then look up a code, like the relation to the code, to see that a vote is recorded and what the results were.
Okay.
I'm explaining that right. So that there is an audit trail. There's basically a paper trail that will be produced. In addition, every paper ballot that's received will be scanned, and there will be a PDF file of all ballots received as well. So all of that information is carried, and then will be in the final materials that I hand over to. And according to the bylaws, whoever it is, I hand over all of that information to.
Okay, thanks. And my other question, you mentioned that you've been seeing online signups, and I'm wondering if you can tell us from which station areas. I have not personally heard the CART in New York promoting online signups. doesn't mean it hasn't been played, just that I've not been lucky enough to be listening when it has, if it has been played.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not featured on our website. I do see it prominently featured on KPFA's website. Hey, you can sign up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I can tell you just from, because I get a notification on my phone every time someone does sign up. Majority mm-hmm. of the sign-ups come from KPFA and KPFK.
Okay. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Lawrence?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have to bug out in a minute, so I'm hoping to get, I just want to be real brief and direct. In regards to all the units, all the stations, can you tell us exactly where we're at with that in terms of who has the postage money? You know, I apologize if I'm a bit of a novice. If you could just address that, because I've been getting a lot of questions in regards to whether we're going to have elections or not. I've been getting a lot of emails. So
right. No, I understand. I've been getting a lot of emails as well. I don't have any financial information from the station, so I couldn't answer that question in term. That would be a question you have to take to the station, because I don't have any information regarding the station's budget or cash on hand. I don't have any of that information. I can only give what they report to me. And so what happened or what was reported to me was when I made the request, which was previously known, that a deposit of a certain amount was needed in order to proceed with the mailing. And when I, I think it was my third attempt maybe, or my third question about the, deposit amount, I then received an email saying that the stations did not have the necessary funding to move forward. So I was never told specifically, okay, this station has this amount of money, or that I don't have any of that information. So that would be a station question.
Okay, just a quick follow-up. So where are we in regards to the deposit for the mailer? If that's a question that you can answer. You could say,
I don't have an answer from Pacifica, or either individual station on when they will have the necessary funds to make the deposit to the vendor.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joy. Appreciate it.
No problem. No problem.
Okay, Janet?
I'm getting off the call. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I understand. Thanks, Lawrence.
Okay.
Okay, so my question is about the carts and the requirements for the candidate carts I'm talking about and the procedures. Are these standard across the stations, or does each station do it differently? And I'm talking about, let's say, the length of the carts and music, possible music played underneath the carts? Is there something?
Yeah, standard? So the standard time is the total cart for each candidate, yes, the same across the station. It's about 45 seconds. I don't have the directing in front of me, but the candidate has about 45 seconds vocal time because there is a bumper that precedes it. So I think it's about 45 to or 50 seconds for each candidate, and then there's a bumper that's added to it. So, yes, that is the same. In terms of music, I understand that was an issue in previous election in terms of a claim of someone having better music than the other candidates. And then I also know that you guys are a radio station, and so playing any music that is copywritten is an issue for the station as well. So we didn't record anything with music. If for those candidates who recorded their own, there was a notice sent to them about that was done in coordination with programmers, I believe, to make sure that any music used is not copywritten, that will put the station in any jeopardy or things like that. So we did not micromanage sort of music or any of that information.
So may I just follow up? When it comes to KPFA, the candidates were just sent, initially KPFA candidates were told that they had 60 seconds to for the card. And only a day or two ago, we were told that we had 55 seconds for the cart. And then we were then told that any music would be music provided by KPFA and not candidates supplying their own music. So,
okay. I mean, if you have a specific complaint about that, and whether or not the in terms of the time frame or something, you can just email that to me, and that's something that, you know, we can address off the call. But I don't micromanage the OESs in terms of producing that process. So
yeah,
if you have a specific complaint about that, you know, some of the station things are not going to be, you know, similar across stations.
Yeah, the thing is that the carts have to be done, we were told, by Friday, and there have been numerous changes over the past several weeks. So some people have done their carts, and then they have to redo them and all that. So this, again, I don't know whether it's a violation. I just want to know whether, you know, so we were told 55 seconds with only KPFA-provided music.
I would suggest that if you wanted to just send that to me, and that's something I can address on the OES call tomorrow, but not something that, without having a conversation with my OESs on that, that I wouldn't answer at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is Bob. I have a couple questions. On the question of the cart you mentioned that's running on at least some stations about opting out of a paper ballot, I also haven't heard it on our station.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You must misinterpret me. There wasn't a card. I said I am cutting a card this week. That will be available on Thursday to run on the stations about opting out. What I said is I know LES specifically has been doing outreach, and some candidates and board members have been doing outreach or sending emails to their networks encouraging people to opt out.
I see. Okay, so
yes.
once you upload that cart, then you're going to really ask the GMs to make a strong effort to get that played regularly.
Exactly.
On their websites.
Right, and also it coordinates also with the, you know, the email addresses that we have for eligible voters and sending out emails as well, encouraging people to do that. So by the time we have our next call or when I do a next update, I'm sure from those two outreach efforts that the number of people signing up to do that will increase.
Okay, good. All right, and my other question is about the staff lists. Do you have a uniform procedure for the GMs to circulate their lists? Because that's been done, as far as I understand, in past elections, so that, in other words, and this is both paid and unpaid, in other words, that all the people currently listed as staff then have an opportunity to see whether they're included on the official voter list, and if not, then to contact the GM to rectify that, and if they can't get it resolved there, to contact the LES. So are you...
Yes, there is a memo that I send definitely talking about the memos in terms of the voter list. So specifically for both volunteers and staff, and there, you know, will be, you can call it an appeal process. And so the memo to the station manager will say, you know, these, according to what was sent to me, these are the list of staff members that were sent who are eligible to vote. The LESs will be instructed to post it at the station, and the general manager is posted to circulate. And then if people want to appeal, saying that, you know, I am eligible, or, you know, things like that, they can address it with the GM in terms of their status, or appeal directly to the LES and myself.
Okay, good.
So
enough.
There will also be, so just like all of the other things, there will be a form on the website. There will also be a form that you, similar to the Fair Campaign Violation form, that is on the website. You can download a form and do it handwritten and include, you know, whatever evidence you have to support that information.
Okay, thanks. All right, are there other questions?
This is Lydia. Are we able to ask now? Or?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so this is Lydia Berzon, the PMB chair. And so I'm asking, what can we do? The PMB is meeting September 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect that the LSDs need to be seated by December. So I don't know if the finance staff has that legal timeline by which certain things have to be done and by which time they have to produce something for you. But if you feel that you need the PMB to weigh in, since all of the staff, the executive staff, including the executive director, it functions at the direction of the PMB. We had hoped not to be too active on this, but it seems to be reaching a rather critical point. And there are some issues that I'm sure you would not be aware of, and maybe many of our members are not aware of. There is, and this is not confidential, since it's on a court site, but there has been a lawsuit that has, as an amended filing, the fact that we did not hold our 2013 elections, and that's the only thing keeping that particular suit afloat. And so, absent moving forward with these elections, we don't want to be facing what will be more costly suit. And we have some interim DMs who may not even be as aware of how serious holding these elections in a timely fashion would be. The other thing that, again, there's no way for you to know this, but all of us on the call know very well that the fall fund drive, very much like the winter fund drive, is when we take in most of our funds. Our most anemic one is the summer fund drive, which is what delayed the finances right now. So there is no question but that this is the only source and the only time frame by which the cash flow permits us to come up with this money. So I cannot fathom, since all of the fund drives have been scheduled, why you have not been given when they can come up with the money. The first $5,000 that comes in the door, for example, should go to this. It's all been budgeted, so if the general managers have not managed to be able to fund their budgets, that's a different issue. So if you need the PMB to do this, our meeting is September 10th, and by the way, I would very much like you to be on the call if you can, as your schedule allows. But would you like us to step in at this juncture in order for you to move forward?
Well, you know, it's good to know the next PMB meeting, and that's something I can certainly look at. Just you know, knowing my process in terms of following up, like I said, you know, coming back from vacation, I will be sending a note. I had expected to hear something, you know, while I was gone, or at least before I got back. I'm going to send a note formally asking again for the process to move forward. I know that the executive director doesn't come back until the 8th as well, which is next week, and then your meeting is on that Thursday. I know I join a call with the GMs on Thursday morning, so I don't know if I'll have a better update after that call this week, or if I need to wait until after Labor Day for when the executive director returns in order to move forward with that. I'm not quite sure, but I will keep in mind whether or not the PMB needs to move on that. There's also another item that I think may be specific to specific LSDs, but I will keep that in mind. And at this time, if the call is for September 10th, I am available.
Okay, thank you very much. And then the other question is, there are a number of, I'm sorry.
Nancy, did you say we're at time?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you.
To an extent.
Yeah, well, let me ask. So, Lydia, you have one more question, and does anyone else have a question for Joy?
Yes. Hi, this is Marion.
Marion
on the staff.
Hold on. Was that Marion?
Marion.
So you have a question?
WPFW, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, so we have Lydia, Marion, Maria Elena.
And Nancy.
And Benito.
And Benito. Okay, so that's five people. So why don't we extend for 10 minutes? Is there any objection to 10 more minutes on this? Okay, hearing none, then we're extended. So go ahead, Lydia, if your last question.
Okay, so my last question is that I received some concerns about those people who not having access to who's a member and who's not when they had their sign-up, their petitions. Signing, of course, they were unaware of whether everyone was a current member. A lot of people believe they're still current. And so when the record date changes, I think I had read something, I believe, that they that would not affect that, and I would just ask if that's true. In other words, if someone became a member within the extension of the record date, new extension, and whether that would affect the eligibility of someone who is a candidate. Petition may have been one signature short or something of, to that effect. And given the reading of Article 3, Section 10 of the bylaws, I would think that would affect that and that they would be able to apply that new record day eligibility also to the petition.
Okay, so I addressed this previously in the memo and on the call. So the only two dates that are tied together are the record date and the ballot mail date. And so that's why specifically I note that if the ballot mail date changes, then the date of record, the voter date of record does change. However, your bylaws specifically do not tie the nomination period to that process specifically. And according to your bylaws and also California nonprofit law, that as long as there is a set defined time for the nomination period and all rules apply at that current nomination period, as I said in the memo, there is no need to reopen the nomination period. And also, as outlined in nonprofit law, once the nomination period is closed, that you can't backtrack in terms of eligibility of someone at that time. And so that's why, and believe me, I did look at that extensively, and that was one of the reasons why, personally, I was annoyed at the delay of letting me know the financial situation of the station. Because had I known that, I would have just made the decision to extend both dates because it just would have been better. And like I just said to the LESs and to everyone, our role and our job wasn't to disqualify candidates. It was doing the best of our ability based upon the rules set out in the bylaws and qualifying candidates to move forward in the process. So we did not set this out trying to whittle down the number of candidates. That wasn't our goal. Our goal was to qualify as many people as possible for to be a candidate, and that's what we did. So, no, we won't be going back based upon the date of record in terms of what was submitted at that time.
Okay.
I'll facilitate the discussion by email. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Marion?
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Alan is now on the call.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, so I had a question about the payment to the folks who are going to run the election for us. And I heard L. Joy say, what is it, $25,000 deposit? Is that accurate?
That's correct.
And so then, okay, thank you. So now we're talking about dividing that up between the stations and have it come out of our fall fundraising. Is that, did I understand that correctly?
I'm not quite sure how you're... Yeah, I'm not quite sure how your funding model works. I'm assuming that that is what the process is going to be, but I don't direct that. So that would be a question for the stations and the executive director.
Okay, sorry. I was referring to what you were talking about, but I was actually, I guess...
Yeah, I don't know about the call driving. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know about if it's directly taking money from the fall drive, but what I do know is from the conversation that I was party to, the deposit amount is $25,000 to be distributed. The cost of the election, yes, is distributed among the stations based upon their eligible voters.
What's the balance then? If it was $25,000 deposit, what's our balance?
So, again, it's based upon the number of voters per station. So the $25,000 is due to proceed with the mailing of postage and execution of the online process. The day that voting opens, we then receive the final invoice from the vendor, which is based upon the station's eligible voters, not just the number of people who voted, but eligible voters. And the mail sent out, and then we get an invoice, and we have 30 days to pay that. So,
okay.
For instance, just taking the smallest, taking KPFA, seeing the online fee for KPFA is about $2,000, but the printing and mailing, because they have so many members, is $17,000. Right, so if everybody in KPFA just voted online, KPFA would only have to pay like $2,500.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Alan, for the back.
Okay, and I have Maria Elena, Benito, and then Teresa.
And Bob, may I have a quick question, if possible?
Who had a quick question?
No.
Okay.
And Janet Perry has another quick question.
This is Serene. After those who have not yet spoken, I'd like a quick question. Thanks.
Okay.
And this is Lydia. If we can extend time, if someone extends time, then I'd like to be at this Serene.
Okay. Obviously, the committee can set its agenda. I just want to remind everyone that we have this very time-sensitive report from the LSB Terms Working Group that really should be dealt with tonight. So, and that's going to take, I'm told, a half an hour. So let's just keep that in mind. It's now 9:37 Eastern. Okay, so next is Maria Elena. Maria Elena, are you there? Okay, we'll come back to you. Benito?
Okay, I have three questions, but number one, I'd like to follow up on what the statements by the PMB chair earlier, and I'd really like to encourage the NES to seek assistance if necessary from the PMB, because I mean, you know, GMs have their priorities. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on those priorities for one second. They got to keep those stations running. But we got to make these elections happen. That's our job as PMB. So whatever needs to happen for that to occur, that's what needs to happen. And that's what the PMB has to make its priority. So anyway, in that regard, also following up on, let me see, if I understood what you said earlier, Ms. Williams, with regard to the record date and what effect that may or may not have on people's ability to be certified, let's say. We have a number of candidates who, for one reason or another, didn't complete the process, were not certified. In some cases, it's because they might have been missing one signature. So if I understood you correctly, does that mean that, are you saying that the postponing the record date would not provide them time to correct that situation so that they can get the number of signatures? And also related to that, I'd like to ask for you to clarify whether a person, a candidate, a prospective candidate, has the right to vote for, sign their own petition. Because we've been told by previous LESs to do that, but some of these folks this year, especially at least in PFW, didn't necessarily do that. And if they did, if they had done so, they might have had their 15 signatures.
So just to respond to that, if they had done that, yes, they would have had their signatures. But if they did not, the nomination period is closed and they did not qualify. It's just simple as that. While I'm sympathetic to that issue, you cannot garner additional signatures at this point. The nomination period is closed. And so whether that's an individual signature, be it of your own or another member, the nomination period is closed and you can't solicit additional signatures at this time.
Right, but what if the individual, the candidate, the prospective candidate, were not aware? No one told them. Remember, we, and here at PFW in particular, we didn't get an LES until the week before the deadline, the close of the nomination period. So there was little time, if any, for folks to receive any kind of education about what is and is not possible. So basically, our folks were left on their own, which is not to say it's anyone's fault, but that's just, it is what it is. You know, and so all I'm saying is,
well,
it seems that, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we cannot go back in time in terms of that aspect. While I understand that the hiring of an LES for that particular station was delayed, they still had me. Anybody that had any questions during that time, I did my best to respond to any questions or calls that came in during that time. We gave people, as I explained on the previous call, you know, if there were minor things that could be quickly fixed while we were confirming people, those things were done. But from a signature standpoint, just in a regular election, if you are running for another regular election and you miss the petition signatures by one person or two people, that is the law. And so if we open up a nomination or allow people to have additional signatures, then, you know, you are potentially opening yourself up for not being fair, because then everyone should have that opportunity.
Okay. I believe I heard time was called, so we need to decide how much to extend. So I have on the stack remaining Teresa, Nancy, Janet, Lydia, and Serene. Was there anyone else?
And I have one more question.
Okay. We're going to put you to the bottom of the stack, Benito, because you've already asked several. Was there another?
Maria Elena and Nancy and Teresa.
Right.
And then
Maria Elena.
Okay. Maria Elena was next.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's how many people?
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more people.
Okay, 3 have spoken before and 3 have not. 4 have spoken before.
Right. Okay, so the question is how many minutes? Why don't we say 10 more minutes? Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, then it's 10 more minutes. So, going to those who have not spoken, Maria Elena is next. Marilena? Are you there? Okay, we can't hear you. We're going to come back to you. Next is Teresa.
Nancy is before Teresa.
Okay,
oh,
whatever.
Go ahead.
Jeanette. Okay. Yes. This is cost-cutting measures we have never really gotten into in our meetings. And I had sent an email with a brief explanation, but wanting you to consider each of the five stations count as they did before the 2012 election. It was always done. The volunteers counted the ballots themselves. We did not hire a company to do balloting until the 2012 election. And so each station would count four other stations' ballots. And then we could do STV manually as well as scan. And that would have more oversight and more validity if we had, you know, not just a machine, but we also had people actually doing it. And we could possibly save money by not using a company to do the balloting.
So just in response to that, and I believe I answered this previously, so the mailing alone for a cross station based upon the estimated number of voters that I previously sent across the stations, the printing and the mailing of the ballots is a total of $63,348.83. The counting and the online option is 12 cents per eligible voter. So the total is only $6,995. So you're not really saving. So if you did this election completely online, it would cost you less than $10,000.
Oh, but that's not. But that's really, really up to the voter to choose to trust a machine or to trust a live human being overseeing it and counting it. And I really don't feel comfortable in promoting people to use the online. I mean, if they want to do online, we could say in different ways, like, would you like to make a donation that each ballot cost about how much? It used to be $1 per ballot with the booklet and everything. But it's not just postage. It's, you're planning to use a company, right, to count these ballots?
Yes, and what I'm saying is you're saying that they're charging for the counting, and I'm saying they're not. Or that the cost of the counting is so low that in terms of you saving the manpower and the recruitment of volunteers and the training of volunteers, like you're not, the cost benefit of that is not the same, is what I'm saying.
But you would have more oversight, right, with a manual STV as well as scanning.
So you want
to have some
count manually and scan?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's something that you would have to take to the board as something that they want to do later. That's not a process that we're doing for this process.
Okay, next is Maria Elena back? Okay, all right, Teresa.
She's not on mute, is she? Maybe not.
Well, if she, you know, if you're hearing us and you can get back on, I'll recognize you. But in the meantime, I'll call on Teresa.
Okay. I have two questions. One is about WPFW. I remember when we were talking about cutting costs, you said that if we needed to, you know, cut expenses, there were some things that you could do, and you know, we would save on having the five local election supervisors, and there were some things that you could do. Obviously, at WPFW, because their election supervisor was not hired until very late, there's some serious ramifications. I'm wondering why you don't extend the period of nominations for everyone there, because to have only seven people running and nine openings, correct? And for the staff, you have only two people running and three openings. This is a serious problem, because how can the voters say this person really stinks? We don't want this person. Because if you only have seven people running, they all get the position. I mean, I think that's a serious failure of the election there. And I think that as the National Election Supervisor, maybe you need to make this ultimate decision to continue that nomination process somehow. Something seriously wrong that you don't have enough candidates. So that's not really a democratic process. That seriously undermines the national board too, because you can't qualify for the national board unless you have been on the local board at least a year. So the pool for the national board is seriously compromised if you do this, because it's going to, I'm assuming that what's going to happen is they're going to have some sort of process after they're seated to select more people. I think you better give us some help on that. Seriously. The second issue...
So a couple of things just to respond to that. So we did our best in terms of WPFW, and even in terms of the people that expressed interest in running did not submit materials before the previous deadline, before we extended it again, and people weren't interested in running. And so I had a very frank conversation with the local election supervisor after the extension on whether or not he believed that allowing an additional extension would produce more candidates. And he did not believe so. And then the numbers in terms of people interested did not lend to that as well. So that's one. Two, you're correct in that because there are not enough candidates to fill the seat, while there is write-in availability for the ballot, the board is going to have to do their process in terms of identifying additional people. WPFW does have the option, according to the California Corporations Code, if the board decides they don't have enough nominated candidates, and therefore they're going to seat the people who were nominated and go through their process of selecting additional members, they can do so. I can't do that. That's something the board would have to do. But, I mean, I think overall, from my opinion, the process overall for nominating candidates should be done a different way. It's one of the reasons why I suggested in the proposed budget before of doing the early postcard mailing that began in the beginning of the nomination period, because I don't really think, that you guys overall tap the talent pool that you may have in your entire membership. And so to be able to email or send a postcard to people and say elections are coming, if you're interested in serving, by either mail or email into your entire list, would actually produce additional people to serve. But, it's done by the candidate cards and the general promotion. So if there is an appeal from... there was a nomination period. We did our best to follow the bylaws and the law that you set forth in the limited bylaws to get people to become candidates, but we can't force people to be candidates and submit materials, and we also can't just confirm people as candidates who don't follow procedure.
Okay, let me just say something here. Hold on one second, Teresa. We're approaching 10 o'clock, and we have this half-hour discussion we need to have, which includes the very topic we're on right now, which is the WPFW situation in several dimensions that need some decisions. So first, let me just make sure that, Eljoy, you can stay with us until 10:30. Is that possible? Because this is very central
okay.
to decisions you have to take. I know it's a sacrifice, but that would be helpful. Okay.
Okay.
So given that, then I would suggest that we, well, also because there's a couple more people on the stack, let's just hold this question about PFW because the work group actually has a recommendation about extending the nomination period at WPFW. So, Teresa, did you have a question on another topic?
Yes, I have one other question.
Okay.
I am very curious as to whether an email was sent out to the email list of WPFW listeners and actually how many of their listeners are actually on that email list and actually how many times on the air it was mentioned that they needed candidates. But I won't finish that, but I would like to hear that. I'm very curious as to what that answer might be. The other thing I want to reiterate is the issue of opt-in. I cannot emphasize enough for several years in a row, I have received letters soliciting money from my local NPR station, and I noticed that they pay 9 cents postage. 9 cents postage. And I think that it's very important that we just send an envelope, just send the letter, ask for money, give them their code, and if they want more information on the candidate, have them opt in. Give them a number to call or an envelope to return and say, I want the catalog. This should save a bucket load of money. That's my point, and I hope we will follow through on that because sending these catalogs from the very beginning never was going to save us any money. It's going to cost us a lot from the very beginning. So this opting out, once you already have something, it doesn't work. It doesn't save the money. It's too late. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Let me ask Nancy, how many more minutes do we have of the 10-minute extension?
We've already gone over.
Okay.
Yes.
So, as I have it, the remaining people on the list have already asked questions, Janet Kay, Lydia, Serene, and Benito. So, and we do have this really pressing half-hour report. Is there any objection to moving on? And people can contact Eljoy by email with further questions.
Yes, there is an objection.
Okay. Do you have a counter-proposal?
Yes, to just hear out the last four.
Well, how many minutes?
People. 5 minutes.
Okay, so the motion is for a five-minute extension, which would mean very sharp limits on each person.
I have an amendment. Can you hear
go
me?
Go ahead. Now I can.
Okay. And this is actually what I was trying to say before when we did the 10-minute extension. People who have not yet spoken can have 2 minutes for their question and response, and those who have spoken have 1 minute for their question and response. We've got to move.
Okay, so that's the amendment. Is there any objection to the amendment? And is there any objection to the motion as amended for a 5-minute extension under those terms?
Well, I'm not sure if it's still five. How many people are to speak? Four.
Four people. Okay.
One has not yet spoken, right?
I'm sorry?
Are all four people who have already spoken?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right, so if there's no objection, then that's what we'll do. So 2 minutes, that's including the answer. So make your question.
No, 1 minute. One minute.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. 1 minute. Right. So 30-second question, basically. Go ahead, Janet Kay.
Okay. So back to cards. So can candidates who have mobility and scheduling issues record their own cards and provide them to the LES and also their own music?
I'm sorry. Say that again?
Can candidates who have mobility and scheduling issues record their own carts and provide them to the LES and also provide their own music?
Okay, so I know for a fact that the LES has sent specific information that if you were recording the guidelines for recording your own carts, so yes, you can record your own carts, and several candidates have done so. Regarding the music question, like I said, you can send me a specific question on that because I need to check with the LES on what standardized method they sent for the music for their station.
Okay, Lydia?
Time.
So my question was just simply, is it too late to add an opt-out on the booklet? In other words, if I want just a snail mail ballot, but I don't want the booklet, the candidate statement, can we add that to the site to opt out of that, or is it too late to set that up?
By default, every voter receives the voting materials, which includes a hard copy mailed to them, the ballot and the booklet and information. That is by default. If you do not wish to receive that and you want to complete your vote and the research of the candidate completely online, then you opt in to receiving that information. But by default, every single eligible voter is receiving the ballot materials in the mail.
Okay, Serene?
Has station management been sending the logs of election-related card play to the local election supervisors?
Some have, most have not. I can do a report to the committee on that.
That would be very useful. Thank you.
Okay, Benito.
Okay, I'll save most of my comments for later, but I have one question not related to the PFW situation. Cleanup, does that include separating? Let me put it this way. At PFW, we have a bunch of programmers that get two votes. They vote as listeners and they vote as programmers because they have, paid membership dues, and historically that's always happened. So I'm asking, did the cleanup include, making sure that folks, only get one ballot?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Joy. So we're now done with this segment of the meeting, and let's go now to the report of the LSB Terms Work Group. Nancy, that's 30 minutes, and we're going to have to go over a little bit to set the next meeting date for the committee, but let's get to this work group report right now.
I'm sorry, Bob?
Yes.
Shoot, I just touched something on my phone. Don't we need to set the meeting while Joyce still here?
Joyce said she can stay to the end.
Oh, awesome. You must really be feeling that vacation. Sorry.
No. I can stay until 10:30.
Okay.
All right, so let's try to, in deference to her, let's try to end this at 10:25, and then while she's still here, set the next meeting date around her schedule.
Janet Kay, I have a proposal.
Is this on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Set the next meeting now, and then go on to the next.
Okay, is there any objection to doing the next meeting now? Okay, so what number of weeks do people recommend? I would say two or three, maybe 3 weeks. There's an opening on Monday. Let's see, one second here. Monday the, let me get September up on the screen. Yeah, 2 weeks from now is taken by the audit committee. 3 weeks from now, the 21st, is only the KPFT Management Selection and Review Committee. Does that include anyone on this committee?
Yes, Teresa and Nancy.
Oh, really? Okay. So that's a conflict. So what about the month is pretty packed. What about the 28th, Monday the 28th? Well, let me ask El Joy first. Is that available for you?
I'm sorry, what date did you say?
Monday, September 28th.
So far, so good.
Okay.
May I offer an announcement?
Yes.
Thursday, the 17th of September, it had been a PND meeting. It is no longer a PND meeting.
Okay.
The 20th just seems very far away.
That's true. So, El Joy, is that available to you? Thursday, September 17th?
September 17th.
Thursday.
Yeah. Let me check one thing.
Sure.
I'm in D.C., so I just need to check the schedule. Sorry, it's just on a different...
That's all right.
different thing. The 17th, and it would be at 8:30?
Right.
Yikes. That would be difficult.
9 o'clock?
It's not the time. It's that it's the Congressional Black Caucus week, and so I'll be in D.C. all week. So I can't predict when a congressional member will meet with me. So I better safe than sorry. I mean, if it has to, then I'm sure I can find like a closet in somewhere and just need to do it. but you know, I would prefer not that week or before Thursday.
What about the 23rd, Bob? It's a Wednesday. KPFT outreach.
Okay.
We're meeting at 7, but you know we're not meeting till 8:30.
Okay.
7, the 23rd is fine with me.
Does anyone have a problem with Wednesday, September 23rd?
Well, Teresa and I are on that, but I'll speak for myself. I'll get off early to attend this meeting, election.
Okay. All right. So is there any objection to setting our next meeting date as Wednesday, September 23rd? Okay. Hearing none, then that's our next meeting. So now we can go on to the LSB Terms Work Group report. Go ahead, Serene.